So tonight we're looking at baptism. And I'm going to look at it in four sections. I'm going to spend most of my time looking at what is baptism and why be baptized or why do we baptized. I'll then look at why should I be baptized, when should I be baptized, and how can I be baptized. Now, there will be a few things that I, because of time permitting, I'm not going to go into the great deal of history of where baptism came from, or look at things of debate of whether we should be, when we baptize, be fully immersed, or whether we sprinkle. I'm not going to look at any of that. I'm not going to even look at whether the importance of child baptism to adult baptism. But we're going to look at the essential part of what is baptism, which goes across both sides of all of those arguments, and why we should be baptized, which goes across all sides of the arguments. Now, as I mentioned, there are two ceremonies, and we call them sacraments, that we are commanded in the Bible to adhere to as Christians. And these are both symbols of the benefits of being a Christian, enjoyed through Jesus' gift to us of our salvation. One that we looked at last week is to partake of the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is something that Christians enjoy as being part of God's church. It is a reminder, and I'm not going to go over everything that Ken went over last week, it is a reminder of God's blessing and what he has done for us. The other ceremony, which is what we'll look at tonight, is baptism. Now, in some ways, we may have looked at this around the wrong way. Baptism is done before you come to the Lord's table. You are baptized, and that is part of you. That happens once. Lord's Supper happens continually. It's a continual reminder for those people that are saved. But, as I said, last week we actually had the Lord's Supper, so it was quite pertinent and reasonable to talk about it here. And this morning at Everton Park, we had the baptism of Alice. So it gave us a good opportunity to talk about baptism tonight. Baptism is a sign of the promise that God gave his people, that he gave us. He first established that with Abraham. He confirmed that same promise with Moses, and he fulfilled that promise in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now tonight, let's turn and look. We're going to look at God's Word, because we're a church that holds to the teachings of the Bible, because we believe that the Bible is the whole Word and the finite Word of God. It gives us an example of how we should live and how we become and are Christians. And specifically, we adhere to the example that Christ gives us. And he is our guide for our life as Christians. So we're going to look at his word this evening. Our reading is Matthew 28, chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. It's only a short one. This is the church's command to go out and baptize. But at the same time, it is also our command or instruction for us to be baptized. Jesus came and spoke to them, that is, the disciples, his apostles, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age." Amen. So, what is baptism? And plain, physical, simplistic explanation is baptism means washing with water. Washing clean with water. But baptism is actually more than just having a bath. It's more because it's where a person is washed with water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is a sign that we belong to Christ. And therefore, we benefit from the promise of grace, his promise that God gave to us in the beginning. It's a washing, it's a symbol of what God does to our hearts. In Ezekiel, in the Old Testament, this is even before we've got our passage there in Matthew, in Ezekiel, in the Old Testament, this gives us a clear picture of what the washing actually does. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. So the washing itself is nothing. It's a symbol. It's a symbol of what God's Holy Spirit will do in our lives, what he will do in our heart. So at this point, I've got to actually say not just what baptism is, but what it is not. So it is not some kind of magic. It's not special water that's used. There's no miraculous immediate transformation of the person from being a sinner to being this perfect, without fault person. The simple action of being baptized does not mean you are saved. It means that God will wash you spiritually. It's a picture of how God spiritually cleans us by giving us the Holy Spirit to work in our lives and to change us from being sinful, from being a sinner. It's plain, ordinary water. It's a sign or an action to show that we have faith, that we have a belief in the promise that God gave to his people. That he would send a saviour that would die for our sins, and that he would be our God and we would be his chosen people. Let's have a look in Acts 2, 38 and 39. Peter said, and this is to a great multitude, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." So baptism is the sign. We look here and it says, before it says you'll be baptized, it says repent and let them be baptized. Baptism is a sign. You are baptized to show you have faith. It's not a complete process. In fact, you must firstly repent. What's repent mean? I mean, this is a word that we use here, and we use it quite easily and commonly. Repent means to acknowledge you are a sinner, that you have fault. It means that you feel sorry for your sin or faults. But not just that, that you actually want to change your ways. So we're here to repent, to acknowledge that we are a sinner, that we need to be saved, and that we want to change our life. We want to change to be better. And we can only do that because the Holy Spirit, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit who does that in us. Then we show that we have faith by being baptized. We then receive the gift of the Holy Spirit who will work in our heart to transform us, to make us walk in the way that the Lord Jesus Christ has set out for us. Further to this, in Acts 2:41, then those who gladly receive his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship together, and broke bread and in prayers. So they were baptized, they gladly received the word, their hearts were changed. They were then baptized, but not only after they baptized, that wasn't the end of it. They weren't just saved then, they continued in fellowship. They followed what the apostles laid out. Now the apostles laid out what God, what Jesus Christ had told them, his commandments, the way they should live. And in doing that, they had fellowship with each other. They broke bread together and they prayed together. So being baptized brings us into a fellowship. So why be baptized? Well, firstly, in our reading earlier, we are commanded, we're instructed to be baptized by Christ himself. Here is his command to the church to go out and baptize. The church's responsibility is to inform, to preach God's word, to show that we need to be saved, and that to be saved, we go and show the sign and have our faith confirmed in being baptized. We are born in sin, and since Adam's fall, we're all sinners. And we are all sinful by nature. That is why we need to be washed clean. We need to be born again. In Romans 5, 12 and 19 and 1 Corinthians 15, 21 and 22, both those passages talk about how one man sinned, therefore we all sinned. One man died in obedience and without fault, and therefore through him we can be saved. Baptism is a sign of us that we will be saved. We have a look in Mark. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. So this reminds us back before I said baptism doesn't, just the simple act of being baptized doesn't mean I'm saved. Because what do I need? It tells us here, what else do I need to do to be saved? I need to believe. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will not be. He will not be saved. They will be condemned. So the simple act of itself is not going to save us. We need to believe that God is our Saviour. So notice the order there. We believe first, then be baptised. Baptism gives us also a unity. It gives us a hope and a faith, the fact that we have a unity with God, both with his heavenly church and with his earthly church. Baptism is a sign that you belong to God's heavenly church, that you are part of his heavenly kingdom, but also his physical church here on earth. In 1 Corinthians, for as the body is one and has many members, but all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also in Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, all have been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Your baptism and profession of faith and changing your life and walking after God enables you to be part of His physical church, where you have brothers and sisters who have been saved and are all seeking to walk after the way that the Lord has instructed us, to help you, to be with you, to weep when you weep, to joy when you joy. So part, why do we get baptized? So then we can be part of God's church, because we need to be part of His physical church here in this world before we can be part of His heavenly church. When should I be baptized? Well, when God has changed your heart, that's when you should be baptized. If you already believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, that He is your only hope, and if you have not been baptized, then you need to be baptized now. Matthew 4:17 says, "For the time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" We're also told in Matthew 24:42-44, "Watch therefore, you do not know what hour the Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known the hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not let his house be broken into. Therefore also be ready, for the Son of Man," that's Jesus Christ, "is coming at an hour you do not expect." So don't put off and think, "I've got plenty of time to worry about whether I've got eternal salvation." Now is the time to consider and ask yourself, am I a sinner? Do I need help? Is Christ my Saviour? Do I want to change my life for the better and to be baptised? We're here in this same warning that Christ gives us about His coming and the judgment days 5 times in the Bible by 3 different writers. So we must take heed. So, when should I be baptized? If I want to be baptized, how? Repent of your sin. Believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is your hope and your Saviour. If you believe you are saved but haven't been baptized and you want to be baptized, make your profession of faith. Please speak to one of the elders. And that is Ken Zylstra and Peter, who's not here, and Peter Wong. Please speak to them so you can reap the benefits of God's promise and be part of His heavenly church and be part of His earthly church now. So I'll leave you with this call of action. Are you a sinner? Do you need to be saved? Do you seek peace in this life and the next? Do you believe that Jesus is your Saviour? Then you need to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Saviour. You'll repent and confess of your sins. You will be baptized and you will live your life by His commandments. And as a result, you will be saved. You will know the Lord and He will know you. You will enjoy peace in this life and you will enjoy the blessings of eternal life. Amen.